Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. I'm Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. Here with me, as always, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Here, we've got a good show for you. Looking back in the rearview mirror and ahead, you know, it's bye week time for Penn State. It comes at a good time, I think. I looked at the schedule, you know, to start the year, and you could kind of circle. This is a near ideal time coming off Ohio State. You avoid the potential pitfall of a trap game and all that, but also to lick their wounds a little bit. So we'll break down what happened against Ohio State, a little stock up, stock down, as we usually do to kick off this show. Also look at, through five games, you know, the season to this point, where Penn State has lived up to expectations, where you've still got questions about their personnel and that kind of thing going forward. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 will join us to talk about Ohio State, that game, and especially from a recruiting standpoint. And we'll get back to your questions here in quarter number four, coming up a little bit later with Ask Greg. If you're not familiar, you can download the Keystone Sports app. Search it out, Keystone Sports. There's an Ask Greg button on there. Fire away. The winning question there, the best question, gets a bottle of wine. So how can you go wrong with that? Let's look at the stock report, Greg. I think if you asked a lot of people, it'd just be down, 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 down. But there's also, you know, if you can see the forest for the trees here, there were some good things that happened against Ohio State. Number one, Trace McSorley, of course, despite what our buddy on Twitter wanted to lay blame on his feet. He'd be the last guy in that locker room that I think I would lay blame on his feet. Played his heart out.
Sure.
280-plus yards passing, 175 yards on the ground. What an impact he made on this game. If he wasn't doing what he was doing, Penn State, I don't think really in the end would have had a shot at all.
No, definitely not. I mean, look, he was responsible for almost really close to almost every yard that Penn State had, he was responsible for. I mean, I know it wasn't fully 100%, but it was darn close to it. I mean, he sets a new school record, another record. I mean, Trace McSorley at this point, Dustin, what passing record doesn't he have? He has almost all of them, and he'll have the career passing yardage mark by the end of the season. He'll take that from Christian Hackenberg. So, I mean, he is going to have just about everything that he's going to have just about every record you can think of. So good for it was a heck of an effort for him. He did everything he could to will his team to victory. It just wasn't enough on this particular night. But, you know, I heard some people say before the game, Stanley Jackson from the Big Ten Network had McSorley ranked as the fourth best quarterback in the Big Ten, which was appalling then. It's appalling now. I don't care, win or lose. It's just a ridiculous statement to make. If you're grading Trace McSorley on his 52.9% completion percentage, you're grading him on the wrong stat.
And it really, I didn't think we were going to have time to venture down that road.
Well, here we are.
I'm
stock
glad
down
you took
Stanley
us
Jackson.
Yeah. What a fundamentally poor thing to grade a quarterback on. I think in a lot of situations, I remember going back a few years and Colin Cowherd was evaluating Christian Hackenberg for the NFL draft. And I was a Christian Hackenberg apologist for a while.
Well, I'm a Trace McSorley apologist. We come from different, similar backgrounds.
See, you don't need to be reformed. I think I do need to be reformed. But so he built this anti-NFL draft argument about Christian Hackenberg solely on completion percentage. And I think I just thought it was stupid. You know, and I think even looking back, hindsight being 2020, I still think it's stupid. There's some kind of correlation between completion percentage, more accurately, accuracy, and your ability to make it as a NFL quarterback. And I say this especially around McSorley because it's stupid in any way to evaluate over that. But it makes me believe you have not watched one quarter of Penn State football if you're not accounting for, I don't know, 15 drops? What's it been through 5 weeks?
At least. David Corley said, the receivers coach said last week before the Ohio State game that they had 10 so far this year. There was at least 5 in the Ohio State game. So.
And there's probably some that are some real gray area where
The one was behind Excuse me. There was one that was behind Juwan Johnson, but he still dropped it. So, yeah, right. That's where you get into the
So, really, it, and a, what constitutes a drop versus not a drop is kind of like an error in baseball where you might not get credited for an error on a particular play, but you probably should have made the play. I think there's at least a handful of those, too. So, I think you're looking at, from the first five games, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 balls that either definitely should have been caught or probably should have been caught. If you don't know that as a Big Ten Network analyst, your scope evaluating college football is not that wide.
No.
If you don't know that and you're putting David Blau from Purdue ahead of Trace McSorley, I think you need to be on a different network. I think you need. I think Purdue needs its own network. You need to be out there for them. I also think, you know, side by side, it was way too premature to put Dwayne Haskins above Trace McSorley too. I know how good Haskins was in the first four games of the year, 75% completions and all that, but had really faced zero adversity whatsoever.
Right.
So that was premature. Also, I want to see a revised list after this. I would hope that he at least ascends above David Blau. I forget who the third one was that was above Trace McSorley.
I would assume it was Lewerke, but I mean.
No, Lewerke was below him. It wasn't Shea Patterson.
It's just a dumb list. I got nothing else to say about it.
Anyway, so the bottom line, Trace McSorley's stock is up. We knew that. I'll put KJ Hamler in here, even though he loses, he gets injured and he gets knocked out of the game. And I guess, you know, in some respects, having this bye week for this particular thing is some recovery time. Hit hard in the head, did not move for a while. I think
scary, man.
It was a scary moment. Still ended up catching that pass, caught a 93-yard ball where he just streaked through Ohio State secondary. I said it before, validated his speed and quickness. If you're able to do that against an Ohio State secondary that routinely just brings in the biggest, baddest athletes that you can find, it's like an NFL secondary in some respects. The windows close faster. You get caught from behind faster and all that. So I think everything that he did through 4 weeks was validated here. And I think after he leaves with injury, you saw, I think, how much Penn State's offense missed him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what other receiver were you relying on? Who else was going to get open? I mean, I'm sorry.
This is a whole other conversation.
Well, it's been a problem even Dayton Mac. Like, there's a lot of people out there that want to say, well, Penn State's receivers are having some issues this year because it hired Army's receivers coach and Army doesn't throw the football. That has nothing to do with it. This has been a problem as long as I can remember, even back to Josh Gattis, with Penn State not being able to get separation consistently. And it's at this point, I think it's just the players that they have. They can't do it. They're not going to be able to do it. They have to scheme around it. They found ways to scheme around it. It was jarring, though, once KJ Hamler went out of the game, because Pat Freeman got open on that first down to start the game-ending drive, and that was really about it. DeAndre Tompkins got open because he pushed off. They threw it down the sideline to somebody that was not even close to a completion. That one was on McSorley. And, you know, there was just no one getting open. You saw a couple coverage sacks in this game because of that, and it was what it was.
One of the big buzz terms in the NFL right now is and I'm sure it's been said before, but I hear it all the time, is the idea of throwing a guy open as a quarterback. And Trace McSorley has had to do that a lot.
Yeah.
He's had to throw guys open, throw it to spots, even though there may or may not be what looks like an open window at that point. Who do you have as being stock up?
Well, I mean, at this point, you mentioned McSorley, you mentioned KJ Hamler. I mean, I would like –
I would say the defense.
For 452 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
I just got a tweet from somebody complaining about Tariq Castro Fields. I mean – I thought he played pretty well. John Reed, again, there were a couple times you saw him trailing plays. He did make a couple of plays, but he's just not the same guy he was before the injury, unfortunately. It's a darn shame. But, you know, stock up to the defense and Brent Pry for the most part, but it's hard to get that last 8 minutes out of your mind. And that's been every game this year. They've had stretches where they look absolutely awful. And I don't know why that is, and I don't know how they fix it, but it's something they're going to have to focus on moving forward. From the defense, stuck up Pat Freiermuth. He was really good. He is Penn State's starting tight end now. There's no questioning that. And, you know, Penn State's offensive line was good for the most part, but 11 tackles for loss, dude. Yikes.
Yeah, that defensive line has a lot to handle, though. I felt like Penn State's offensive line.
But when you
– They met – expectations.
Yes,
I
agreed.
I think that there's some stock up in that just because of where Penn State came from, and that in a lot of these types of games, Penn State's offensive line hasn't met expectations. So there's some good in that. Stock down, I think, late in this game. I mean, you can probably lead off with coaching or play calling or halftime adjustments, all that balled into one. That would probably be the number one thing. But
yes,
in the end, I mean, I think open field tackling played as big a part in the outcome of this game as anything, because Ohio State was not doing anything elaborate. They were not. They kept going to the same well again and again and again.
Yes.
Penn State had no answers for it. And I think execution on the field was probably bigger in that respect than it was than coaching was. They just couldn't make tackles. There were too many missed tackles. There were too often where guys were just getting flooded out of the area by a wave of Ohio State blockers. Nobody really made the plays when they needed to be played. It was all bubble screens. It was all screen passes. They were welcoming the pressure in the second half. And in the end, especially that 96-yard drive, the fateful drive, that's all they ended up doing.
96 yards. You know, it's almost hard to believe in a way that, you know, you could give up a 96-yard touchdown drive to lose the game at home. But again, much like the Miles Sanders play, there was a lot that went wrong before that. That's not the losing drive. I mean, it'll go down as the losing drive in the box score, of course, but there was a lot that went wrong before that. Yeah, I mean, stock down for me. I think Penn State fans are really frustrated at this point with how Penn State closes games. And I'm not sure how to grade that for a stock down purpose. But stock down yet again to how they finish games. Stock down Joe Moorhead. Mississippi State was held to like 6 points, I think, against Florida. 7 points last week. A lot of people were complaining about Penn State losing him. It's just a reminder that the grass is not always greener on the other side. Two games, nothing to worry about, but just thought it would be interesting to throw out there because Ricky Ronnie was basically savaged after the game, and a lot of fans said, well, if Joe Moorhead was here, Penn State would have won this game. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Yeah, I think there are some games that fit the same description that
did Moorhead call. I was thinking the same thing. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think the grass, and you know, Moorhead.
So what is it then? Is it execution on the field? Is it James Franklin's input? I mean, what, there's a common thread here somewhere. What do you think it is?
I mean the only common thread that really goes from, you know, the beginning of this, you know, you back to 2016. Really, I think USC was and maybe even earlier than that, the Pitt game in 2016. So I think there's something there with the coaching. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's sometimes, and there's a question that came in that we'll get to. Sometimes they're conservative when they should be taking risks. Sometimes they're risky when they should be conservative, and it all paints this picture. Yeah, either way, it's not a good thing. Finishing games has not been a specialty in these tough Big Ten games. So we'll see. That's stock up, stock down. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking at the first five games of the season and review how Penn State stacks up. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.